When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. If they play ESPN, we pop up. You can download the podcast. We're on ESPN, too. Everywhere. Guys, first of all, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Top of the hour to you.
Top of the morning to you, Key.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Key.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi,
there,
I'm
Jason.
Dave.
I'm not for everyone's shirt. Key's rocking today.
I'm doing well, Joseph, and yourself.
I've always had this shirt, though. Y'all act like y'all never seen this shirt.
I don't sit around reading people's shirts usually. That's the thing.
Hey, Joe, why is he at the club later on today? You want to hit some pitching wedge?
I'm not for everyone, by the way. It's better than I'm not for anyone. That would be a problem. But everyone works, I think.
None of us is for everyone, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's just the reality of the world that we live in. That's the way, you know, here I go with my Aaron Rodgers voice. Huh? Yeah.
as soon as you started being philosophical. None of us is for everyone.
Yesterday,
I took some time to reflect, and I realized.
No, I did take some time to reflect yesterday.
Did
on
you do a cleanse
note.
As well?
No, I was hanging out in Malibu at the beach and just having some lunch and just chilling. Yeah. It was a little cool, but I got a chance to just think about the show and you guys and some of the stuff that we do and I was just thinking about how we put the show together this morning and what we're going to do and getting prepared for our call. It was quite refreshing, I must say, Max Kellerman.
Key, were you earthing?
Yeah, earthing.
Do you know what earthing means? Are you into this now? Have you guys been doing earthing?
No, I'm not into earthing.
Let your feet sink into the ground so you can feel the planet underneath you. Center, ground yourself. Breathe in. Everybody, even if you're driving right now, don't close your eyes. Just keep your eyes open if you're driving. But still.
Unless you're in a Tesla, you can close your eyes because it'll drive.
Yeah, you got to put it in autopilot. But let me tell you something. You still have to keep your hands on the wheel. I'm like, so what I got an autopilot for?
Exactly, right?
Got to keep my hands on the wheel. All right. One of the things we planned out this morning as Key was meditating was a little Adam Schefter sound, ESPN senior NFL insider on the Ari Mirov NFL show. This is on the Jimmy G trade. Remember when Jimmy G came out a couple weeks ago? He just was talking like he assumed he was out of there. And then also Trey Lance's development. Listen to Schefty.
He's developing the right way. They are happy with him. But I go back to my initial statement, is that he didn't play college football at all 2 years ago. He's coming from a small school to begin with. And there is a steep learning curve for a quarterback like that who's blessed with a lot of talent, who they still are very high on. It's not a reflection of whether they think he's going to make it. Look, we said this last year, and people said, no, come on, they're not keeping Garoppolo. They're trading him. Well, he played. And by the way, maybe they do trade him. I'm not telling you you're wrong. It still is absolutely on the table that he could be moved, and I think he believes he's going to be. I'm just giving you the other side that I don't think it's a lock that he's going to be traded. He very well might, but it's not a lock.
Key.
No, not at all. No, I'm just saying, no, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, like, you and I, we've talked about this. Garoppolo's, listen, he made deeper runs recently than almost anybody, right, in the two years he was healthy. But the Trey Lance of it all is interesting to me because I remember when he was drafted. Forget about what the draft picks they gave up to him, how it's normally done, da-da-da-da, all this stuff. When he was drafted, or even before that, what we were hearing about Trey Lance is maybe he has the highest upside, but he's the farthest away, right? Now, a year later, it's like, oh, is he ready to take over? Well, what changed that people assume that he's ready to take over now? Because everything Schefty just said about the perception of him at least a year ago is true, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you look at it and they drafted up to get him and they traded and did all the finagling and they moved away from Mac Jones reportedly was going to be the guy to Trey Lance, and immediately you looked at a talented player versus a player that didn't win the Super Bowl and Jimmy Garoppolo, a throw away from getting the Lombardi Trophy, the first thing people started to say, well, he's got a year, and then he's gone. He's going to teach him all the different things. But now as you look at the development of Trey Lance, you say to yourself, okay, he is certainly, as Adam said, they like him. He's certainly doing things in practice that they like and things of that nature, but practice is not a game. But then when you go back and you look at Jimmy Garoppolo taking him to an NFC championship game and not taking him, meaning like the whole thing is on him, just being a part of that for whatever juju reason out there that he continues to win, he continues to win. Now you look at the number. You say he's going to cost him about $25 million with 1 year. Now what John Lynch and Shanahan has to do is make a decision. Do we bring him back for a mid-number at a quarterback, a cheap for a quarterback, at $25 million, or do we trade him for a low first-round, second-round, high second-round type pick and run it and roll the dice with Trey Lance, or do we say to ourselves, if we bring him back and all of a sudden he takes us to the Super Bowl and wins, now we stuck with a guy that we traded all this stuff to go up and get, who now is 3 years removed from college, who we got to finally make a decision on to play, but we got a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But see, we missed out trading and getting those picks, Jay. So they're kind of going back and forth in their mind about what the best decision is going to be for the 49ers moving forward.
But, Key, I hear the, you know, frustration in the, how difficult the decision may be. But who gives me the best chance to win right now? Like, that's easy.
It seems Garoppolo by so much.
That's Jimmy G. It seems like Jimmy G.
That's Jimmy G. And when I look at how this team is composed and I look at how close they were last year and I look at the numbers of who this team was without Jimmy G compared to who they are with Jimmy G, if Trey Lance is nowhere close to being ready, then I'm willing to bite the bullet. See, I'm the type of dude, if I made a mistake, all right, like, I messed up. Okay.
But also, great, like why is it like a biting the bullet, Jay? Like, to me, the plan is working if they like what they're seeing from Trey Lance, but he's not ready, then perfect. The reason you just made it to the NFC Championship game, you did better than almost any team in football. Only two teams did better than you, right? And one team did as well. In out of 32. And 3 years ago, last time Jimmy G was healthy, only one team did better than you. They had Patrick Mahomes and then just barely, right? So you're doing great if you're the Niners.
Yeah, no,
and you're developing a young quarterback. Why is this a problem?
I think what I hear key is that they're saying that the development of Trey Lance is nowhere close to what they expected it to be.
It can't be because, and nor should it be. The guy missed basically 2 years of playing football.
That's right.
He didn't play football his senior year at North Dakota State, or his last year at North Dakota State. He didn't play. They had like one game.
That's a great point.
And so he didn't play entire rookie season, right? So when you look at that, that's 2 years away from football. He's not going to look good. Patrick Mahomes played. And then he played at the end of his rookie season. And then they said, you know what? We getting ready to roll with the dice with him. So you knew, based on what went on in Kansas City, that he was ready to take over for Alex Smith. That's not the case with the 49ers. The 49ers are 26-14 when Jimmy G plays. He's 7-18. They're 7-18 under Shanahan when he doesn't play. So that's a problem. Now you say, well, what's the big problem? It's because you stuck. It has to be about the future of the 49ers as well as today. If they win, great. You figure it out later. But if they don't win, you now have lost draft capital for a quarterback that could walk out. But if you decide to roll with him at the end of the year, you got to make a decision at the end of the year if he's good enough to bring back. What is it called, Evan, when they could tag him?
They can use the non-exclusive franchise tag, which would mean they tag him, but other teams would have an opportunity to negotiate or talk to Jimmy G, and then they could work out a trade. They would get compensation in that scenario, but there is a non-exclusive franchise tag that they could use so that they tag him and get compensation when he becomes a free agent, but doesn't necessarily tie them to him. And then Jimmy's salary is less than if they use the exclusive tag. So there's parameters around both the exclusive and the non-exclusive tag. But in this scenario, because they're not really looking to pay Jimmy a whole ton of money to keep him, they're just looking at compensation. That's the one they would use.
So if I'm them, Max and Jay, I bring Jimmy back, and I hope he goes, takes us as far as possible, then I do exactly what Evan said. I use one of those tags, so because he'll still have a market. I'll use one of those tags. So if I lose him,
you get compensation.
Then I'll get some compensation, so I'm great.
But listen, isn't it interesting? Who are the two best quarterbacks in football, most people would say, now that Tom Brady's gone, right? Rodgers and Mahomes. Rodgers sat for years, plural, before he got to take over, and he, as soon as he started, he was amazing. Patrick Holmes, Mahomes, a full year, and then as soon as he took over, he was amazing. Take another dude, Josh Allen. They gave him 2-3 years to develop before the expectations were there, and every year you saw him getting better and better. I don't know why that's not considered a good model, and the Niners have that, and the luxury of an excellent quarterback while they're developing the guy. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, brought to you by Nature Valley. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars help you make the most of your outdoor time, from the backyard to the slopes and anywhere in between. Enjoy a sweet and salty bar wherever you are. For every adventure, there's Nature Valley. Jimmy G ain't the only quarterback being underrated this offseason. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
$45 million cap hit. They can either have him play out the final year of his deal, they can extend him to get that cap number down to a more reasonable figure, or they can trade him.
The Carolina Panthers are quarterback desperate. My guess is they're calling everybody with a veteran quality quarterback.
Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, all these guys love Kirk Cousins. All those guys think so highly of him.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Courtney Cronin joins us now, our Vikings and soon-to-be Bears reporter. Can't just have that level work on one team. You got to start expanding. Morning, Courtney.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for coming on. As always, hey, Courtney, let's all take a listen to Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell last week at his intro press conference on quarterback Kirk Cousins.
Kirk's played at a very high level, and he's done a lot of really good things throughout his career. I know who he is as a player, and I know what he's capable of, and part of our job as coaches is maximizing a player's ability to go out every single Sunday and have success. So I feel like that's going to be an advantage for us as we build our system offensively, make sure we really focus on the things Kirk does well, which I do think are a lot of aspects of playing the position. It takes all 11 to move the football on offense, to run it, to throw it, to score points in the red zone. But I'm anticipating Kirk being a part of what we do.
Then yesterday, when asked by Chad Hartman on WCCO in Minneapolis whether he can say without hesitation that Kirk Cousins will be on the Vikings roster come training camp. Kevin O'Connell said, and this is a quote, training camp is a long way in my mind from a standpoint of what any position may look like, end quote. Football people always have to use more words. Training camp is a long way in my mind from a standpoint of what. O'Connell later added, I love Kirk Cousins. I do. I think he's clearly shown in this league the skill set, the intangibles at the quarterback position to play at a high level. Courtney, is there a different tone now coming from the organization when it comes to Kirk Cousins?
With the head coach, yeah. And he's going to speak today along with his new offensive coordinator, Wes Phillips, and defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell. And that's a week removed from when Kevin O'Connell was officially announced. And we asked him about Kirk Cousins and the future at the quarterback position in Minnesota. And of course, like in a press conference setting like that, in the way that he said that he anticipates Kirk being a part of what they do going forward, I don't know any other way for him to phrase it than that, but there is a little bit of hesitation. It's not coming in gung-ho like, I love Kirk Cousins. I took this job for Kirk Cousins. Like, he's my quarterback of the future. Like, he didn't say that. What he said, he kind of hedged a little bit. And obviously in what he said on WCCO radio in Minneapolis yesterday, sounds like it's walking it back just a little bit, or more so just protecting O'Connell so it doesn't look like in a couple weeks, if they end up finding a trade partner for Kirk Cousins, that he wasn't doing all he could to keep Kirk Cousins here. I mean, there were a lot of things that Kevin O'Connell said last Thursday about Kirk Cousins, about what he can get out of Kirk Cousins, and then the comparison between Matthew Stafford of the Rams and Kirk Cousins. And I just think that for all that you hear about, oh, like the team is committed to him, like they want potentially to talk about an extension, things like that. Like, remember what time it is. This is the end of February, a week before the combine. This is when teams are trying to posture sometimes to show like, hey, we know we really do like this guy. We're not giving him away for free. Read between the lines. He has a $35 million base salary that's already fully guaranteed. The Vikings, if they end up trading him, they don't want to be on the hook for what's already most of it, what's already guaranteed. So I think that that's kind of where that comes from. But there should be no certainty right now of who's playing quarterback in Minnesota in 2022. That's still to be determined.
Courtney, it's called lying season.
Rather than
the off season. So you mentioned the $35 million guaranteed. I think the cap is around $44, $45 million cap number. So in his last year in Minnesota right now, what should the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins in the quarterback position?
The best case scenario, and I wrote this the other day at ESPN.com, is you trade him. And you can find another trade partner, whether it's Carolina. I know that they've been rumored, obviously, because of Sam Darnold, and they picked up his fifth-year option. And, you know, Matt Rhule might be trying to save his job, so you can get a competent veteran quarterback like Kirk Cousins. Like, if you could pull off a trade with a team where, A, the financial responsibility for you is not taking on the entire base salary, because that would effectively be what would you do if you cut him or something like that. If you can find a way to lessen that burden and also get draft capital in return, and getting a competent quarterback for 1 year at least and being able to draft somebody, that would be the best case scenario. And that's why I think that exploring all trade options should be on the table right now. The worst possible scenario that they do would be to give him an extension solely because you realize your cap situation. They're about like $15.5 million over. There's ways to fix that. I mean, you really could theoretically let him play out that $45 million cap hit and then just part ways with him next year. But that means other areas of the roster are going to be affected. But if you think, oh man, we've got to try to be competitive this year because ownership wants us to be competitive, to extend him solely for those purposes, and then you're in this same spot next year if you go 8-9, or even if you make the playoffs and lose in the wild card, like, it's basically delaying the inevitable. We've seen Kirk Cousins' ceiling. That is a thing that needs to be said, and I know that no coach is going to say that, but we have seen the best of what can come out of Kirk Cousins, and I just don't know how much longer the Minnesota Vikings should sign up for that.
So let me ask you this, because Jay has been swinging at the fences for this one, but I'm going to steal it and use it with you. If some reason Aaron Rodgers is not in that division, does it change their thought process about Kirk Cousins? Because they don't have to do it today. They can simply sit back, right, and wait for Aaron Rodgers to tell the Green Bay Packers what it is that they what it is that he is going to do before they make a move in Minnesota.
Yeah, if Rodgers is gone from the division and Kirk Cousins is here, the Vikings are undoubtedly the best team in the NFC North. You know, best quarterback, best chance to actually succeed next year. If Rodgers is still around, then obviously that changes the conversation. But I think that more than just like, oh, can we win the division? Can we, like, you know, what Ryan Poles had said in Chicago, can we take the North and not give it back? I don't know that they're honestly that would honestly factor in all that much to it, just because of you have to think about what you're signing up for now and then what that could potentially mean if you end up giving him an extension for the next couple years. Like, do you have enough wherewithal to continue to rebuild that defense, which they tried and honestly it didn't work out last year, to do that and keep a Kirk Cousins in place? And financially, this we've seen the structures of his deals before. He's not going to take a pay cut. Like, there is no indication of that given the way that he's done these deals with his representation. They've done a tremendous job, honestly, in terms of the player empowerment element of all the guarantees and all that. But I just can't see the Vikings looking at it through the vacuum of, well, Rodgers is leaving Green Bay. Maybe we should change our plan. I think that the plan should be and continue to be we need to explore all options to try to trade Kirk Cousins to lessen the financial burden, but also to start fresh at the position with a new coach, a new regime. And, you know, it's a similar scheme to what they've run the last couple of years, but we've seen how good Kirk Cousins can be in that scheme, but also where his ceiling is. Like, I just don't buy the argument, guys, that we hear this every year that Kirk Cousins gets a new offensive coordinator, and it's a lot. And he's played in these Kubiak-Shanahan systems before. Are we really anticipating that Kevin O'Connell is going to be the guy who gets the most out of Kirk Cousins? Like, that's a tired argument. We've heard it way too many times.
But, Courtney, can't you do all that at the same time? I mean, can't you assess what the marketplace is for Kirk Cousins while assessing what's happening with Aaron Rodgers? Can't you do all that? It's just a process, right? You're just taking your time with the decision.
I mean, you can. I just think that, like, I just wouldn't say that they need to, like, look and see what Green Bay is doing and then make their decision. I think that their decision needs to be for the long-term viability of this offense and realizing if you do end up, they have the 12th overall pick. Like, we know what this quarterback draft class looks like and who might be available there. Like, if you have a Kenny Pickett, wouldn't you rather, I think the whole thing comes back to, like, would you rather potentially take a little bit of a step back this year to set yourself up for longer term success with O'Connell? The Vikings are a team that doesn't do this all that often of, like, firing, bringing coaches and then firing them. Like, Mike Zimmer was here for 8 seasons. Rick Spielman was the GM for 16. Ownership does not want to have to do this again in a couple years. So I think that you have to be realistic with it in the present time of, okay, this, like, what's, we're not going to go for, like, the short-term gain. We want to go for, like, the long-term effect. And I think that that's why Kirk Cousins is such a critical part of this equation, because everything starts and ends at the quarterback position. Everything starts and ends for this team this offseason with figuring out the financial restraints or what they can free up to be active players in free agency around Kirk Cousins.
That is Courtney Cronin, ladies and gentlemen, our Vikings and soon-to-be Bears reporter. Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate it.
Thanks, all right, guys. Courtney. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Mako. With Mako and their magic, your car is no longer tragic. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako, and go to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. The NBA second half starts tonight, and Jay is going all in on something. He stole my thunder. This what? Is the definition of stealing someone's thunder.
What?
Well, but then again, he was willing to go to a different place that I was willing to go to, so maybe he deserves to keep the thunder.
What's our level of concern? 0, 50, or to the max?
Turned up to the max.
This is 0 to the max.
All right. The NBA returns from the All-Star break tonight. We're going to get you all ready for all the storylines, a little to the max. Evan, what we got?
Yeah, so Max yesterday said that Ja Morant has is fifth on his top 5 most likely to win finals MVPs. Jay said on Get Up that his bold prediction is the Grizzlies are going to go to the NBA Finals. So, 0, what? 50 or to the max, where are you willing to put that, Jay? 0, 50 to the max, Grizzlies making the finals. Where are you at?
What?
I mean, I already said it, so I'll mark it down. I'll go 100% because I'm riding with them 100% to do this. And I obviously know that Phoenix is one of the best teams in the NBA. CP3 being out for 6 to 8 weeks, that's a massive, massive loss for this team. El Capitan, right? Now, Golden State, absolutely loaded. Draymond Green will come back. That will be a huge test. But I will remind people that this is becoming a really big rivalry. The Grizzlies got the best of Stephen Curry last year. They've also got him this year. Like, it's a series that Ja Morant and this young team wants. So as I know that Golden State will be the favorite, there is something that feels special about what they're building in Memphis. And even if I'm slightly off, I'm still riding with Memphis this year to get there. Mm.
Yeah, I would say, you know who Ja Morant reminds me of? This is the reason I said before Jay did, just for the record, that he's going to be an MVP finals candidate, yeah. Ja Morant. You know what? Because he reminds me of Joe Burrow. You know, it's not his time. He's ahead of schedule. Da-da. And Joe Burrow's like, I ain't waiting for my turn. My turn is now. Ja gives me the same feeling. I feel like he's going to be built for that time of year. And here it comes. And he's on a good, deep, young team. And as Jay pointed out yesterday, they do well against good teams. So, I'm all that adds up to a 50 for me getting to the finals. It's hard to get to the finals.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 50 on this one and follow up Max. I think, yeah, Ja obviously is very, very dynamic. But let's not be prisoners of the moment, okay? Very inexperienced when it matters in the playoffs. That's what matters. Yeah, you get the best of teams in the regular season, but when you got to face a Golden State team or even a Phoenix team, well, let's assume Chris comes back and plays. That's hard to do over a seven-game stretch versus small, bite-sized ones and ones and ones.
Yeah.
All right, concern level. That the Lakers missed the playoffs, Jay. 0-50 to the max.
I'm going to go 50 here right now. They're at the ninth seed. They got a tough schedule down the stretch. No Anthony Davis. Are we going to expect Russell Westbrook? I know Max has been talking about it. Be crazy different in the second half. I don't really know. So I'll go with the 50 on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the max. I'm extremely concerned that they're going to miss the playoffs. I understand LeBron James and all those sort of things, star power, all that. I get it. I understand it. But the Lakers are not very good right now, no matter who's on the damn court. So, yeah, I'm going max. Sure panic in my voice, no question about it.
I'll go 50 only because you'd have to be 11th in the conference. I mean, I know it's play-in, but if you get to the play-in, I'm going to say you're going to get – it's like, you know, it's postseason. And also you have a good chance still to make the playoffs. Oh, so I'm looking at the 11th seeded team. That's the Spurs with 23 wins, the Lakers 27 wins. The Lakers are like, what,
four
and a half games up. I'm going to say it's a 50. They have cushion there, too. It's not like the Spurs are setting the world on fire.
Playing to the max here, getting ready for the second half of the NBA season. To the max brought to you by Toyota. Make a powerful statement every time you pull up in the pickups. That's five changing the game. The all-new Tundra, Toyota. Let's go places. All right, let's go to the Sixers. Confidence the Sixers can figure things out with James Harden and Joel Embiid this season in the second half. Jay, 0-50 to the max.
I'll go 50 just because, I think naturally these two are so gifted that their offensive talents will speak for themselves. But the only reason I don't go 100, Doc Rivers. And like I said before, everybody wants to put so much pressure on James Harden. And I get it. How will he fit in? Joel Embiid having an MVP type of caliber year. But how Doc Rivers coaches this team, there have been a lot of questions around a lot of moves that Doc has made. I'll go 50 on this one.
Yeah, I follow up, Jay, exactly what I was going to say. I was going to lean heavy on Doc Rivers in this situation. Can he get them to coexist on the court? Can he figure some things out? Because since Boston championship with the Big Three, as far as Doc Rivers' playoffs and things of that nature, it hasn't been good. It just hasn't been up to snuff.
I'm with you guys reasoning 100%, but I will still be at 100 about them figuring it out, and I'll tell you why. It's not about Doc to me. James Harden played the best basketball I'd ever seen him play last year, even though his numbers were down, but that was like genius-level point guard to me. Rolled out of bed doing it. I just feel like he's going to be additive. He's going to make it his business to figure out. Like, I don't think like, oh, Embiid's numbers are going to go down. I don't see that. I just think they're going to win by wider margins now, and I expect James to play an incredible point guard with Embiid. That's the only reason, but I hear what you're saying about Doc, but I'll still go 100.
Let's go to Harden's former team. That's the Nets. confidence level that Kyrie Irving plays in home games in the NBA playoffs. 0-50 to the max, Jay.
I'll go to the max on this one. I from people I've talked to, very, very, very close to the situation, I do think in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, the vaccine mandate for indoor participation in facilities will be retracted, and I think we will see Kyrie Irving back in a full-time position with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I'll go max in this situation. A lot of what Jay said, reading and listening and hearing that the mandate will be lifted and Kyrie will be back playing indoors, sounds pretty promising moving forward.
I'm going to the max. You know what? We have a New York mayor from New York, not one of these Boston imports we keep getting. So guess what? He's not going to sabotage us. Eric Adams is going to get Kyrie back out there. By the way, I'm for vaccine mandates, but that's besides the point. Kyrie's going to play. Yeah, I'm all the way to the max on this.
All right, confidence level that the Bulls get to the NBA Finals for the first time since The Last Dance. 0-50 to the max, Jay.
I'll go 50 just because of if the Brooklyn Nets are at full health. I mean, they're going to be top to bottom the best team. But I will tell you, if the Bulls are able to get Lonzo Ball back healthy, Patrick Williams back, who's coming back off that surgery, Alex Caruso.
Patrick Williams supposed to be back?
Get all of them back, yes. He's training to come back. They're on the verge of him coming back. If they get those three caliber players back with the way DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Vucevic has been playing, I'm just trying to tell y'all, I know we don't talk about them enough, and we need to, because the Bulls are the real damn deal. And they could get there.
I'm going to go zero. I don't have the confidence because of the Brooklyn Nets. I think if you believe that Philadelphia is getting their act together with Embiid and James Harden and company, and Doc Rivers can eventually get over that hump, and then you still discount the champions and the Milwaukee Bucks for whatever reason, I don't think that Chicago – I understand they got exciting players with Ball and DeMar DeRozan, MVP-type candidate, and Zach LaVine. I understand all that, Jay, and you got to do it because you are a former Bull. But nah, man, zero.
You know, for all the bluster of the daddy, the Ball kids play winning basketball without regard to their own numbers. They play unselfish winning team basketball.
You mean Jello?
What's that? Well, come on. Like, it's also an issue.
I get it, but the
two of them in the league. I'll bet you Jello plays that way too if he was in the league, right? I'll bet you. Maybe that's why he's not in the league. All right, the point is this. Man. I think Lonzo's just additive, just like Harden to Embiid. Yep. I think he's just going to make it better. I'm going to go to 50. The Bulls this year, and I said it before the season started, I said it before the previous season, reminded me of the Phoenix Suns last year. Both times, I'm like, ooh, they added this piece? That looks like it fits real nice. So, yeah, they're going to have to get a little lucky. Someone's going to have to get hurt on another team, something like that. But that's what happened to Phoenix last year. I'm going to 50.
Mm. All right, real quick before we end to the max, just the update on Patrick Williams. This is from Billy Donovan yesterday saying he's progressed well and reiterated there is optimism Williams will return before the end of the season, barring setbacks. His initial return timeline was 4 to 6 months. That would have put him in the late February to late April window. So if he's on track, he could be back for the playoffs.
Just trying to tell you, man, defensively, he is an animal.
If Patrick Williams becomes the best player on that team eventually, which he has the potential to do, you would think, they can win championships because they are really good.
Pippen-like player for them.
That'd be amazing. If he really did, even without his development, they're damn good. We may stay in the Midwest because we got to find out how long Aaron Rodgers is going to keep the Packers waiting.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash.
With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
And I think he enjoys this. I think he obviously loves going on McAfee. He loves going on there and kind of having everybody wait to see it, because I think he likes to control what he wants to control.
There will be no news today. No decision about my future today.
Very dramatic the way he's doing it, but also he is effusive in his praise of the Packers lately. Maybe that's trying to let him down easy, but I think that's the opposite. I think, you know, Green Bay has been confident throughout.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80. Say play ESPN, we pop up on your smart speakers. You can download the podcast. And we are here with Jason Wild. And we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Jason, thanks for joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for calling.
Jason, what did Brian Gutekunst say yesterday when it comes to fielding calls from other teams for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he said the word hypothetical a lot, for one. That might have been his favorite word with us yesterday. But obviously the window has not technically opened. So somebody asked him about fielding calls, and he said, look, nobody can really call. Now, we all know that there are back channels. But look, this is the timeline here is not waiting for people to call to ask if you want to trade Aaron Rodgers. This is waiting for Aaron Rodgers to say, I want to come back, I want you to trade me, or I want to retire. And then they go from there. And so that is what the Packers are waiting for from Aaron Rodgers, and then they can start moving forward. I think they are of the belief that Aaron Rodgers wants to come back. They have done all these things to make him want to come back. They've hired Tom Clements to be their quarterback's coach. So I think that is their hope, and that is their expectation. But that is not what they've been told yet by the quarterback.
Jason Wilde with us, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jason, I was calling him Evander Holyfield for the first 5 years of his professional career. This is an issue I have. Anyway, go ahead, Jay.
Go ahead, Key. I know you're going to jump in.
No, yeah, I was gonna ask Jason, what have they done independent of Aaron Rodgers outside the quarterback coaching, Clement? What else have they done to assure him of whatever it was that he was asking for last year when he had this quite a fake holdout?
Yeah, Key, the biggest thing they've done is really changed how they communicate with him. And by the way, Max, I've been called so much worse than Wild. The one thing that I think Brian Gutekunst deserves more credit for than anything is that Aaron Rodgers' complaint was that this team did not communicate with him. They did not include him in these conversations, whether it was about OBJ or bringing back Randall Cobb or all these different aspects that, as Aaron Rodgers put it, affect my ability to do my job. Now, I did ask Brian Gutekunst. We had a small group session with him, just a handful of us beat writers. And I did ask him if the pendulum had maybe swung a little bit too far. You went from not including him in anything to really kind of, I don't want to say groveling for him to come back, but hiring the quarterback's coach he would want to have coach him and including him in all these other conversations. And now there's the Devontae Adams part of this story. So Brian Gutekunst doesn't think that that's the case. He thinks that they are in a really good place relationship-wise. He acknowledged that he needed to change his approach. He said sometimes you have to go through the storm to get to the shine. And so I think they feel like they have changed their culture to some degree at Rodgers' urging, and that it has been a good thing for their organization.
So, Jason, if I'm just curious here, right? Because it feels like when I hear Aaron Rodgers talk, he starts mentioning a lot about Devontae Adams. And, mm-hmm. Hey, well, you know, he doesn't want to be tagged. He'd rather have a long-term deal. And I start wondering and pondering, are they a package deal?
Yeah, you and me both, Jay. I mean, so the challenge here is, and Aaron Rodgers kind of said this right from the outset, right, that when he was trying to give people an idea of what the timeline was for him, He tied it into the window for the franchise tag opening, which opened on Tuesday and stays open through March 8th. Now, the question is, how exactly does the franchise tag and Davante Adams impact Rodgers' desire to come back? And, you know, that was one of the questions that Pat McAfee did not ask him directly on Tuesday, and that would be a question that I would want to know directly, because, as you said, when they started talking about the franchise tag, Davante, by the way, on January 5th when we talked to him late in the regular season, was asked about the franchise tag, and he gave one of those answers where he made it very clear how he felt without actually saying how he felt. He said, I like to keep it professional. It's best that I don't say anything. So he was very clear, I don't want the franchise tag. And in talking with Goody yesterday, he acknowledged that the franchise tag makes things acrimonious. So my instinct, and this is just my gut feeling, I do not know this for sure, I'm not reporting this, but my instinct is that Aaron Rodgers is basically saying, look, I'm not going to commit to come back until you get something done long-term with Davante. And if he ends up with a franchise tag, I can't make you any promises that I'm going to come back, because Davante Adams could respond to that by saying, look, I just played on the last year of my contract, took all that risk without any guaranteed money for me, and I set the franchise record for receptions and receiving yards. I'm not playing on a one-year deal again. So I'm going to hold out. You guys can trade me. You can just have me not play for you, but I'm not going to play on the franchise tag. Now, I don't know if he's going to do that, but that sounds like that's a possibility, and I don't think that brings them any closer to having Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Jason, no, really quick here. Aaron Rodgers really doesn't have the option to just get traded wherever he wants to. It has to be both sides. Am I correct in that?
Well, you are, Keith, but here's the thing, and I asked him in one of our Zooms during the regular season, because he's doing all this stuff about gratitude and everything else, but he keeps talking nostalgically about how much he loves Green Bay and how everything has changed, but he was also obviously playing at an MVP level. And I said, tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like the question is, are you going to play here or play somewhere else next year? And retirement is off the table. And he quickly corrected me and said, no, I wouldn't rule out retirement. But and you tell me, you've been in negotiations before. To me, that's just keeping that club in his bag. So if for some reason the trade were to be somewhere that he didn't want to go, then he can say, no, I think I'll just retire then. So I think he has a certain measure of control over where he gets traded. But you're right. Like, let's just say he wanted to go to San Francisco, which I don't think is realistic. They're not going to let that happen. Jason, they're smart enough not to do that.
Jason Wilde, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this
morning. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.